We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Dr. Jones' message is one in a series entitled Word of Truth.
Thank you very much. My friends, I want to read you some verses from the 19th chapter of Luke. Now, if you listen closely. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there's a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my good I give to the poor. If I take anything many man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I read 10 verses in this chapter. One of my oldest evangelistic sermons is built on these verses. I'm not going to give you that sermon there. I just want to talk to you about 2 or 3 little points here. It's very significant that Zacchaeus, chief among the publicans of Jericho, a man with a good position, of course it wasn't a very popular position with the Jews. He was what we call down south in Reconstruction days a scalawag. He was holding a position under Rome, see, and was taxing his own people. So the publicans were not very popular, see. And yet he had a good position, was getting along fine, and evidently made a good deal of money. There's nothing said that he made dishonestly. They probably accused him of that. Because he said that he had taken anything, he'd restore it fourfold. He didn't say he had. He just said, if I have, I'll restore it fourfold. So he may have been honest and upright in many particulars. But he didn't have much standing with his own people. But the significant thing is that this man had a handicap. Now, people always told me about my handicap or my handicaps. Well, of course, we come in this world handicapped. You know, we belong to a fallen race. You came to the world, the son of Adam, or the daughter of Adam. And Adam all died. When Adam sinned, the devil took over, in a sense, the human race. And man became a sinner. And after Adam sinned, the whole human race, unborn generations, belonged to a race that was fallen, see. It doesn't mean that everybody in the race does everything that's bad. It doesn't mean that all of them are murderers. It doesn't mean that everybody's a thief. It just means that the man is minus God. He's in this world without God. Now, man has no spiritual affinity for God. You know, when Jesus Christ comes back again, those who are saved meet him in the air. But those who are unsaved take to the hills and beg mountains to fall on them and hills to hide them from his presence. Man naturally doesn't want God. He wants to get away from God. He's out on his own. Now, he longs for something he doesn't have because he's an immortal being and must live somewhere forever. And the things that pass away can't satisfy him because he won't pass away. But he's a sinner, and he comes into this world without a divine nature. Now, he's an immortal being. He has a hunger in his heart for something to last. But he hasn't got anything. Now, the purest, sweetest, nicest man in the world that's born in his natural state may have some good traits. He may be very attractive. He may be educated and trained and may have some good impulses. But he doesn't have God naturally. You get God supernaturally. So man is naturally a sinner. The first thing a baby does is to cry what he wants and get mad if he doesn't get it. There's something wrong with man. Plato and Aristotle and the philosophers of the past discovered that. There's something wrong with man. Now, Paul explains everything in the first chapter of Romans. He says in so many words that the whole race knew about God at one time. But when man knew God, he didn't give God the proper place in his life. And so man then went out into all sorts of perversity, every kind of sin. Man's naturally wrong. But, you know, added to that, nearly everybody has some definite something wrong with them, see? I've been in evangelistic campaigns, and a fellow get on a conviction for sin. And he'd say to me, well, now, you know, I can give up everything except one thing. Here's one thing I just know what I can do about. And maybe it's drunkenness, maybe it's something else. And you say to him, you can do this. Everybody has a handicap. Now, Zacchaeus here, he is small of stature. Now, ordinarily, at a desk, we could sit down and transact business, he's all right. But he's handicapped in a crowd. He couldn't see over the heads of people. Man of small stature. But he had something in him that made him get to the right place where he could overcome the handicap. So he climbed up into a tree and looked down on Jesus Christ, and he passed. As I've often said, the man that had the poorest chance had the best view. Interesting sometimes, isn't it? You know, the fact he had the handicap and fought that handicap gave him the advantage over the rest of the crowd. He got the best view of anybody. He saw the crowd and saw Jesus. And Jesus passed by and looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for the day I must abide thy house. And he made haste and came down. It's very interesting. Do you know what you ought to do with your handicaps? You ought to make stepping stones out of them. Now, everybody has some kind of a handicap. Blessed is a man that knows what his handicap is and knows how to overcome it. Now, Zacchaeus knew what he had. He knew he didn't have much advantage down there in the crowd. He knew his limitations. He knew he was of small stature. But he wasn't going to stop. So really, that handicap proved to be a good thing for him that day. He got the best view of anybody there. Crowd going down the street, and he won't know who it was and whom they were following. And so he ran ahead and climbed up in a tree. Now, you can make a stepping stone out of your stumbling stone. You've got some kind of handicap. So I said, well, I have a high temper. Well, the best training you can have is to ask God to help you to overcome it. And I said, my eyesight's not very good. Well, all right. Train your memory, maybe. Maybe you've got to learn to remember things a little better. Don't let your handicaps get you down. Everybody has some kind of handicap. Somebody said to me one time, said he had all the handicaps. He was born in a little house, and he was poor and all that. Well, that shouldn't bother you. Why, if you were just born poor, maybe it's a good thing. It probably was better than being born rich. There's more danger in riches than there is in poverty. You know, people always talk about the danger. He's poor and didn't have any advantages and all that. Well, maybe it's the best thing ever happened to him. If he'd been born rich, he might have never amounted to anything at all. So handicaps can be a good thing for you if you know what to do with them, if you won't let them get you down. Now, don't give any excuse. You can get to Jesus Christ if you want to get to him. Never mind what your sin is. Never mind who you are. Never mind what you've done. If you want to come to him, you can come to him. Whosoever will may come. Now, that takes in everybody. Takes in the drunkard. Takes in the soiled double on the world. It takes in the thief and the murderer. It takes in everybody. If you want to come, you can come. Okay? You know, sometimes the most difficult thing in the world to do is for a man that's pretty moral and decent to admit he's a sinner. As a matter of fact, the greatest sin in the light of the Bible is not drunkenness. The greatest sin is not loving God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment. That's the greatest commandment. To violate that commandment is to commit the greatest sin, not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. You know, the publican that went to the temple and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, he got mercy. The other man didn't think he needed mercy. And he said, no, thank you, I'm not like these other people. See, as far as we know, there's nothing against Zacchaeus' character. As far as we know, he was a moral man. As far as we know, he didn't get drunk. As far as we know, he was living a pretty decent kind of life. As far as we know, of course, people talked about him. And you can't believe what they say about people when they don't like people, see. When a man's doing something that you would like to do if you could do, but you can't do it, it's mighty hard for you to like that fellow, you know. You say, well, he's doing something I can't do. It must be crooked, see. So his enemies in the town, the publicans, weren't as bad as people said they were. They weren't as bad as they said. Well, the scallywags that held office down south. People prejudiced against them. And you couldn't quite get over it. I remember when I was a boy, my father was a Confederate soldier. And whenever you'd mention a carpetbagger, he didn't like a carpetbagger, but you mentioned a scallywag, his eyes flashed fire. The carpetbagger was down here in the north, but scallywag was a man down here in the south lined up with a carpetbagger. You old people have heard about it. Now, as far as Zacchaeus is concerned, we don't know anything against him. We know what people evidently said about him because they had been for him, and people praised him. But now Luke doesn't say anything against him. Said he was a publican and he was rich. Of course, people might say, well, no wonder he's rich. He made his money. We don't know that. Doesn't say so. He was a publican and he was rich. But he sought to see Jesus, who he was. See? He wanted to know who he was. Who is this person? Who is he? You know, that's an interesting question. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this person? You couldn't know if he didn't tell you. He said that if you've seen me, you've seen God. And he said you have to either be for me or you have to be against me. So Zacchaeus went down to see who it was, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't find out, see. He couldn't find out. Well, he said, I just got to find out. He was determined, sort of fella. I like a man like that. And the fella goes downtown to get the bacon and stays there till he gets it and brings the bacon home with it, we used to say, see. He goes after something till he gets it. So he said, I'm going to see. And he went ahead and did see. And the fellow had the poorest chance that day entertain Jesus Christ in his home. Think about the handicapped man that people didn't like and talked about, and all the native citizens said he's down here, dirty scallywag, and all that kind of situation. Entertain Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ explained it, or at least it's explained by the pen of inspiration there, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. The significant thing is that this was a lost man. Say, I wonder how you stand in the sight of God. Are you lost or are you saved? You're one or the other. You don't have to get drunk to be lost. You don't have to kill somebody to be lost. You're just naturally lost, that's all. If you've never been saved, you're lost. All right? The Son of Man came to seek and to do what? Save that which is lost. That's what he came for. He came down from heaven to earth. What for? Just to be born and walk around and preach? No, no. He came to save that which is lost, to seek out the lost and save the lost. Now he's seeking you out. He's calling you. You've heard his voice and the word of God. You've felt the pull of his power. You know what you ought to do. All right, you don't have to be lost. You can be saved. And if you'll take him into your heart, into your home, into your life, someday he'll take you into his home. And he has a wonderful home, much nicer than yours. And he'll take you into his arms like a shepherd picks up his sheep. And like the father throws his arms around the prodigal son when he goes away. And like the woman that looks for the coin till she finds it and then rejoices she found it. He wants you. Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Ye will not come to me, said, that you might have life. He wants you. You can have him. Why don't you take him? He came for what? To seek and to save that which is lost. Now, why don't you trust him? He came to seek you. He came to save you. That is, if you're lost, and so if you're lost, he's looking for you. Why don't you trust him today? Our Heavenly Father, help somebody that heard this message. Help somebody to trust him. Right now, right at the radio, say, I'll do it. I believe he died for me. I believe he came to save me. I'm going to trust him as my Savior. Help him to do it. Help her to do it. You're speaking to somebody. Help them to yield to Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Christian young people who have character and want to grow more of it, who have surrendered to God's will and want to prepare themselves to do it, are attracted to Bob Jones University. If you want that too, contact Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Ask for a free personal opportunity profile.